days. Let's get into Matthew chapter 13. We teach the Bible. So next week, you know, Wednesday night, we're going to try to get halfway through chapter 13 this morning. But we'll pick it up on Wednesday night, what we don't finish Sunday morning. We teach through the scriptures chapter by chapter, you know, verse by verse, book by book. And we're in the book of Matthew. And as we've been seeing, as of last Wednesday night, Jesus has been not behaving himself very well with the religious leaders. And they're all upset at Jesus because Jesus is challenging their theology, challenging their teachings and perspective of God's word. And they've got a lot of control on people, and so they don't like Jesus coming in and messing up tradition and messing up what they've interpreted God's word to be, specifically this issue on the Sabbath day. And the Sabbath day, today we meet on Sunday, but it could be any day, really. It's not about a day, it's about a person. And they've got a, they're really coming after Jesus about this idea of what day and what they can do and what they can't do. But the Sabbath was always meant, when you guys are looking at the Ten Commandments, I think it's the, what's the Sabbath, Thomas? It's which of the commandments? Is it number four? It's number four. So, hypothetical question, but yeah, it's number four. And so the commandment of the Sabbath was really to point us to rest in God. It's a picture of, listen, if you get anything, you're going to get two things. One, the Sabbath is a picture of us resting in God. When God said, keep the Sabbath, or honor the Sabbath and keep it holy, the way you keep it holy is that you honor it. In other words, you rest. You take a day of the week and you rest in who God is. Every day, so I have schedules. How many of you guys got schedules where you eat at the same time? The older you get, the more schedulized you are. You're eating dinner at 3:30, right? So the older you get, the sooner you eat dinner. But I'm having I do the same thing. Every day I have a schedule that I keep. And one of the things that we do is every day when we get off, I go home, the first thing I do is I turn on my electric blanket, and it's around 2:30 in the afternoon. So you guys, this is kind of embarrassing, I don't like telling you the times, because then you're like, Jason, there's work to be done. Don't worry about it, I gotta take naps. And so at about 2:30, I go home, and I turn my electric blanket on high, and I've got this huge bed. And then I go in, and I'll make my I wanna call it lunch, but I'm getting older, it's at like 2 o'clock, so I'm gonna call it dinner. And so I make my dinner, and then by the time I'm done eating, that bed is so warm and so nice. It feels like you're hopping in a 6-foot loaf of bread fresh out the oven. I mean, just nice. And when I hop in bed, you guys, I wrap that around me, and I'm like, God, you feel so good. God, you're such a provider. You clothe me like this electric blanket and just prosperity, Lord, and I'm blessed, and Lord, you're so good, and you just surround me, and I'm rolling around in my bed, and Vicky's out in the living room probably wondering what's going on. This happens every day, but when I hop in that bed and I'm covered up, it feels like Jesus, and I just like, Lord, you are so good, you're so good, and then I crash out for a couple hours, but the point of it is I was thinking about, you know, the Sabbath is meant to feel like that, where you're taking a day of rest in God, and you're just like, man, you're so good, I'm so blessed, you know, and you're so wonderful in my life, Lord. And instead of that, what's happened is that these Pharisees have taken a good thing and they've made it a bad thing. They have made it a miserable day of law, rules, and regulations. On Wednesday, we talked about you couldn't leave your house on a Sabbath day for more than 3,000 feet. But the crazy thing was that their law was, is if you went 1,000 feet and you put a plate of food from your house down, tied a string to that plate of food, and then you went another 3,000 feet or whatever, you could walk all around town with a bunch of string tying you back to your house, because technically you never left home. And that's gnarly. I mean, that's crazy thinking to keep, yeah, you know, I can't go past 3,000 steps, but I can tie myself to my house and walk around Newport. And that's what they were doing. They were doing ridiculous things. If you broke your arm on a Friday, man, that thing was going to have to wait until Sunday or Monday to get healed up, because the bones coming together were working together for healing. So you don't get healed up with a broken arm. You don't go past 3,000 steps. And then we saw Jesus doing what on the Sabbath? Picking grain. And they're like going special ops. I don't know where these Pharisees are. They're hiding out like, these guys are creepers. They're hiding out behind bushes, and they're waiting for Jesus to do something like pick grain so they can bust him on harvesting. Picking grain, like, you know, harvesting, major production, 1,000 pounds of grains in 5 minutes. You're harvesting, you're working, you're breaking the law. And so Jesus obviously has an issue with them hearing God's word about keeping the Sabbath, but maligning it. So he's going to deal with it. And so, you know, the Pharisees, they wrote this book called the Talmud. It's a commentary about the Bible. And they wrote over 24 chapters of what it means to rest. You had to work to rest. It was insanity. So let's check out verse 1. The same day went Jesus out of the house, and he sat by the seaside, and a great multitude were gathered together unto him, so that he went into the ship and sat, and a whole multitude stood on the shore. And so it says that in verse 3, he spake many things into them, parables, speaking to them in these parables. So Jesus is wanting to get it through their head that I want you guys to listen to, you know, not just hear God's word, but get it into you. So what's he do? He starts talking in parables. And parables are what? Yeah, they're stories. They're just basically stories to get somebody's attention. Because have you ever talked to your spouse and you're like, I'm talking and you're not listening? Hello, like Vicky, what Vicky will do is she'll, like, before she says anything to me, she'll be like, look at me. Just look at me. You looking? And I'm like, yeah, I'm looking. And like one eye's pointing this way and that way I'm looking. And she's like, are you listening? I'm like, yeah, I'm listening. And the reason why is she's like, I need your attention. You're going to have to make eye contact. I need you to hear this. Because sometimes, you know, we can listen and things just go in one ear and out the other. I mean, how many of you guys got kids, right? It's like trying to talk to kids and they don't listen. Or, you know, pastoring a church sometimes, you guys don't listen. So it's like, you know, people just don't listen. It's a thing. So Jesus is using stories to get their attention. I mean, how many times, like if I was to ask you at the end of the day yesterday, what did you read in your devotions in the morning? And you're going to be like, I read the Bible. Okay. And what did it say about sin? And you're like, God's against it. Well, yeah, I mean, it's like, of course. But you can't really think about, you know, what you read or the time you spent with the Lord. It's because it's going in one ear and out the other. So Jesus, in verse 3, he's talking to him in parables. Verse 4, he's going to talk about a story of a farmer. Behold, a sower went forth to sow, and when he sowed some seeds, fell by the wayside, and the fowls came and devoured them up, and some fell on stony places where they had not much earth, and forthwith they sprung up because they had no deepness of earth. And when the sun was up, they were scorched. And because they had no root, they withered away. And some fell among good thorns, and some fell among thorns. And thorns sprung up and choked them out. But others fell into good ground, brought forth fruit, some 100-fold, 60, 30-fold. He who has ears to hear, let him hear. So the big idea of everything we're going to talk about this morning is what Jesus is saying to us right there. He who has ears to hear, let him hear. And he's talking about God's word. It's not enough that they're just kind of hanging out with the guest speaker at the beach. Jesus is, you know, the guest speaker, and he's given a message. But what he's asking him is, listen, what I'm talking to you, what I'm teaching to you, what I'm telling you, is it getting through? Is it making a difference? Is your life is it impacting your life in some specific way? And so that's what Jesus is concerned about. Not that we just show up and we hear, you know, a message, but the message is life changing? Is things different? And that's what he's concerned about. He's more concerned about it than a superficial, just show up on Sunday and Wednesday type of thing. It's a life change thing. So in verse 10, he says to the disciples came unto him, and they asked Jesus, why do you speak to them in parables. And he answered and he said unto them, it is given unto you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it is not given. And I love the disciples, because when these guys don't understand what Jesus is, when they're just not like picking up what he's throwing down, they question him. Why are you talking like this? This doesn't make sense. And I kind of remember, you remember Thomas, it was him when Jesus said, I'm going to prepare a place for you. And where I go to prepare a place for you, I'm going to come back for you so that where I am, you shall be. And you guys know the way. And I love Thomas, because in John, I think it was chapter 14, Thomas is like, I don't know the way. What are you talking about the way? Like, what is this? And you know what I thought about this? I thought, when Jesus says you know something, and then you got to tell Jesus, well, actually, I don't know it. Can you tell me a little bit more about, because Jesus is like, you know the way. Thomas is like, actually, I don't. And you don't want to be in that place where Jesus is telling you do, but you don't. And so, what do? Do you feel stupid and ask? And so Thomas is like, I don't know. We don't know. And sometimes when we're in the Word, you guys, sometimes we can feel stupid about things, and, we have questions about stuff. And here's the deal. Where are you going to take your questions? To Jesus. If I want to know about you, I'm going to ask you. I'm not going to go to Facebook, and check out everything that's going on there. I'm not going to go to your TikTok account. I'm going to ask you. And Jesus is like, the Word says he is the Word of God that became flesh. So we want to go to the Lord when we have questions about the Lord. And it's important, you guys, to spend time. If you guys got questions about Jesus and you don't know, and this is what he's going to be leading up to, spend time in the Word. It answers the questions, and it talks about the Lord, because all the Bible is about who? Who's it all point to? Jesus. Jesus is always the answer, right? So in verse 12, for whoever hath, to him shall be given, and who has shall have more abundance, but whoever has not, from him shall be taken even what he has. So what Jesus is saying is that the parables are testing the listener. So Jesus is good at stories. Hippies could relate. He's talking about grass, birds, dirt, all these different stories of, things that have to do with organic. Everybody down at Oceana would be into Jesus's story, right, Sarah? And so, but the focus of it is that the story has a spiritual point for someone who's spiritually hungry, and the disciples are spiritually hungry. So they're going to get the point of what Jesus is saying, because they're asking questions. He's going to unpack it, and they're going to spend time in that way. And you know what? I was thinking about how sometimes when we come to God's Word, we read it so fast, and we move on, we move on, we move on. And we just keep moving from one thing to the next. We treat God's Word like we're watching a reel on TikTok or Instagram. Honestly, we do. And you guys got to give Facebook that. They figured out how to capture you, right? Facebook, Instagram, and Temu. Oh, my Lord. I've been spending some money on Temu. Temu has got some good deals, you guys. But Temu's a trip, because it makes you look like you always won something when you go on Temu. You check in on Temu app. Have any of you guys got the Temu app? Good. Because I'll tell you what, everything's super cheap. It's like going to the Dollar Tree, but a little higher up, higher end. And every time you log in, they're like, you just won free shipping, or you just won a coupon for 80% off. And these guys have got you. I'm like, yes. And I'm just wanting to buy everything. But these people have got one thing down. They know we want instant gratification. They know that we don't have an attention span longer than a fly. It's like, this is what we got to have. We got to have it now. But when we're looking at the Word of God, and this is what Jesus is talking about, he who has ears to hear, let him hear. Man, you're going to have to hit the brakes, because it's completely opposite of anything else you've ever read. This isn't just a normal book. This is the Word of life. And Jesus is saying, if you want this to get into you, you're going to have to get into it. You're going to have to dig. It's like precious gems. They're not on the surface. You got to dig for that stuff. And so Jesus is challenging them to sit quietly, meditate on the Word, listen to it, have a heart that's receptive to it, meditate on it. You guys remember Joshua in Joshua chapter 1, verse 8, when Joshua was getting ready to go in and conquer the land and everything, or and What did God tell Joshua about the word? He said, don't let the law of the Lord depart from your lips, but meditate on it day and night. And when we're talking about what is meditating on the word of God, you guys, is it thinking about scripture? No. See, when you think about scripture, your mind can tend to wander. When you think about anything, your mind tends to wander. But meditation goes deeper than thinking. It's to chew, it's like a cow that's chewing something up, and it's kind of a sick picture, but it is what it is. He's like chewing food up, regurgitating, chewing it up again, back and forth all day long. And that's meditating on God's word. It's talking it all throughout the day. Meditation, mutter, it's on your lips. You know, whenever you drive by somebody and they're in their car and it looks like they're talking to themselves, and you're like, man, that person's either nuts or they're singing, I don't know which it is. Be that person. But have the word of God on your mouth where you're constantly going over what you read, and then you're encountering situations, you know, like, don't let the sun go down on your anger. Maybe that was your devotion for the morning. So all day you're just like, sun going down on my anger, sun going down on my anger. And then you're thinking about you and your wife, and you're just like, man, I gotta square up on this before I go to bed. You know, and then it leads into life change. But the idea is that it's going through your heart and it's going through your mind, and you're talking it out and you're looking at how things are going on in your life and how they apply. That's meditation. It's not just thinking about it. You know, we think about stuff and man, our mind goes nuts. If I'm thinking about scripture, you guys, I'm a total mess because I hear my phone dinging. I hear my fireplace sounding weird. I'm like, man, I need a new fuse in that thing. I hear the refrigerator running. I'm hungry. You know, it's just, I get these thoughts. And so we don't want to just think about God's word. We want to meditate on the word of God. And so Jesus says in verse 13, therefore I speak to them in parables, because seeing they see not, and hearing they hear not, neither do they understand. And in them is fulfilled the prophecy of Isaiah, which said, by hearing you shall hear and shall not understand, and seeing you shall see and not perceive. And for the people's heart is waxed gross. That sounds nasty. Wax and gross and ears. Like there's a picture Jesus has given us. And he says, and their eyes they have closed, lest any time they should see with their eyes and hear with their ears and should understand with their hearts and should be converted, and I will heal them. And so it sounds like this is God's fault for not them listening, because he's pronouncing judgment. They're gonna see and not perceive, and hear and not hear. But it's not God who's pronouncing a judgment on these people that they're not gonna hear, they're not gonna see. It's the person's heart, because they're not receiving it. And so Jesus says, man, they don't wanna listen, they don't wanna pay attention to the word, so they're not gonna get what he's saying. And there's something wrong with their heart. It's a heart issue. It's a spiritual thing. They saw the miracles of Jesus. They heard the teachings of Jesus. They heard about the miracles of Jesus. And yet their hearts, he says, have waxed gross and hard. And you guys, we want our hearts to never grow hard. We don't want our hearts growing waxed, gross, hard, none of that. We don't want to be that person. We don't want to be an old, cantankerous 25-year-old where we're just like, you know, our hearts are hard and we're just nasty all the time. We look at people that are nasty all the time and we're like, what's the problem? Why are they like that? It's like a spiritual gift. You've got the gift of creepiness. What's the matter in your life that you're so nasty? And their hearts are hard. And the Lord's like, man, I don't want you to do that and go in that direction. It's almost a warning, I think. But you know, you got to ask the question, how do I know if my heart's getting hard? It's a good question. I think if you ask yourself, if is my heart getting hard, are you reading the word of God? And you know, some things I think about when you're reading God's word, is he still speaking to you where you're like, man, this is incredible. And you're blown away and you're seeing Jesus in a whole nother light. And you're like, man, I just love you, Lord. I love reading about you. I love learning about you. Do you guys love learning about the Lord? Is your heart on fire to learn about the Lord? What about prayer? Man, do you guys get stoked to pray? To just set time aside? Are you stoked? You're like, man, I get to pray today. Or spending time in your word. I get to set time away tonight. Vicky came, you guys had a knit for a bit meeting over here at the church with the ladies. You remember that little class you had? And Vicky had one request. Don't you show up. That's what she asked me, because she said, Jason, you show up and everybody starts talking and blah, 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 but don't show up. And I said, that's fine. I don't want to show up to no knit in a bit. But what I will, I got the house to myself. I'm a king in my own castle with my dogs, my subjects. And as soon as I got home, my first thought was, man, I get to just sit in the Word of God by myself. Not that I love Vicky, I love her companionship. She's a great person, and I love my wife, but man, there's just something about having the house alone, and you're just like, boom, here's the Word of God. And I was so stoked about it. And I was thinking about, is our heart growing dull? Are we on fire for worship? Like when we're worshiping, can you feel it in your heart? You're just like, man, my soul proclaims the name of the Lord. These are good indications that if you're like, yeah, Jason, I'm stoked to get in the Word. I'm stoked about praying. I love the Lord. I'm learning. Then that's a great place to be. But if you're getting into a place where this is becoming a job, something's messed up. And that's okay, because Jesus can fix it as long as we confess it and we're just like, man, Lord, there is something going on here. And so in verse 16, he's going to unpack what all this means in the seeds and the sower. Verse 16 says, but blessed are your eyes, for they see, and your ears, for they hear. For verily I say unto you, that many prophets and righteous men have desired to see the things which you see and have not seen them, and hear the things which you hear, and they have not heard them. Hear ye therefore the parable of the sower. So now Jesus is going to tell us about this guy throwing out seed on a ground and all of this stuff about the seed getting choked out and everything. In verse 19, he says, when one hears the word of the kingdom and understands it not, then cometh the wicked one and catches it away, that which was sown in his heart, and that which is received by the wayside. So that's basically, you know, when someone hears the word of God, they don't get it, and they just push it aside. They're like, yeah, this is crazy. I don't understand it. And then Satan loves that. Satan loves that, you guys, when you read the word and you're like, I don't get this, I'm going to table it. And he goes, good idea. And then he just comes and snatches it, and you never go back to it. And that's what Jesus is saying there. But in verse 20, but he that received the seed unto stony places, the same as that he who heard the word and with joy received it. Verse 21, yet he has no root in himself, but he endures for a while. And then when tribulations and persecution arise because of the word, by and by he's offended. So Jesus isn't talking about like four different ways that you can be a successful gardener. This has nothing to do with you planting. Do you guys garden? How many of you guys plant? Because you guys are going to get what he's saying. How many of you guys, do you guys got anything? Nobody? Wendy? Great. You guys too, Tiffany? You guys are gardeners? She is? You kill everything? Yeah. So gardening, you guys know, I mean, if you plant something, you know, unless something's desperately wrong, it should go well. I mean, we've got a backyard, and I was putting escalonias in for a hedge, and I spent $500 on them. And I was out there breaking up roots. My back was hurting me. I had blisters all over the place. And the whole time I'm thinking, Lord, this is a work for you. Like, I'm doing this for you. I want to be like Jesus and, you know, not have to see my neighbors and have privacy and all this stuff, right? And so I'm doing this, and I spent all this money on building this hedge. And the next day, my dog goes out there, and he breaks them off. He breaks them off to the ground. It's actually Vicky's dog. It's Vicky's dog, 100%. This is Vicky's dog. And I think he's jealous of me. Honestly, you'll hear it. So, when we go to take a nap, if she ever goes to take a nap with me and he's in there, he looks at me like, what are you doing in here? So he's kind of touched. And so anyways, I plant all this stuff. The next day, he goes and breaks it off. And what's Vicky do? She goes to his defense. Oh, well, you know, Jason, at least it ain't down to the root. And these things grow like weeds. And those plants will be growing like no time. And I'm like, man, I sure hope so, babe, because that was $500. And my back hurts. And my fingers are all bloodied up. Well, the next day, he goes out there, and he rips each one up by the root. And I asked her, and I said, so what's that? And she goes, I don't know what you did to him, but that's personal. I was like, you got that right. Something's not right with this. I mean, you're just destroying everything. And but you know, the point of it is that when we plant, when God's word is planted in us, it's going to produce a harvest, is what he's saying. Ministries are going to be birthed out of you. Life change will be birthed out of you. New commitments will be birthed out of you. People getting baptized. And God using you in an extraordinary way because of one little seed that you allowed to take root in your heart because you made room, you made space. And so in verse 20, he talks about the shallow heart, the one that received God's word on a stony place. And we're going to wrap this up. Give me 5 minutes. The stony place, the shallow heart. And he said, this is when we see this one a lot, the shallow, where someone comes to Jesus, like they come to church. And one Sunday, and then they're just like, man, I'm all in. I want on worship team. Do you guys got apparel? I'll buy the merch. Do you got bumper stickers, necklaces, shoes, you know, paper towels and cups? I mean, I want it all. And I want to, you know, what devotional Bible should I get? And how many verses a day should I memorize? And, oh, I just want to. And then next Sunday they show up and it's just like, man, I want to be on the board. I want to make big decisions. I want to like, have, you know, and they want, and it's like, and they're on fire. Crazy. You see them. They come a mile. You see it. They sprout up so fast. And you're like, man, this guy. And you're like, but Jason, isn't that what we want, man? Don't we want people to hear about Jesus? And just, man, bang, dynamite. Yeah. But we don't want them to give up. And this is the problem that Jesus is talking about. He says they go bang, and then they go out. And it's just that fast. And they're hearing the word, and they're not allowing the word of God to take root in their heart. And I start thinking about how sometimes Christianity really isn't how we start, but how we finish. And you guys remember Nick at Night, Nicodemus in John chapter 3. Now, Nicodemus came to Jesus, and he started way, you know, this guy was a late bloomer. He's a Pharisee, he's going to Jesus, he's a religious leader, and he's asking Jesus about life, and Jesus, you know, told him that, you know, that verse that we love, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that who would ever believe in him would not perish but have everlasting life. Then we don't see Nicodemus until when Jesus is getting crucified. What happened in those years, the gap with Nicodemus? Where'd he go? We don't know, but we do know this. He was there when Jesus was crucified. We do know this, that he took responsibility for the body with Joseph of Arimathea. So we got a late start in life, is what I'm saying with Jesus. But then there was Judas. Boom, on fire. He was like holding the money. Like, this guy was the church treasurer. He was like the capital A apostle. Judas on fire, bang. And then what happens? As fast as he came in, he was out. And I guess what I'm saying is, it's not how we start this walk, you guys. Maybe you're 30s, 40s, 50s, whatever. And you're like, man, I'm not a church-going guy. And that's okay. That's great. Or maybe I don't have a lot of history. You're like me, because I didn't. Man, I'll tell you what, I was 30s. And, you know, I was a late, late, late bloomer. But it's not how we start, it's how we finish. And that's encouraging to some of us who got a late start. We're like, man, right on. He got some work for me, ahead of me. And then it's also a warning to those of us who grew up in the church, who were always at church Sunday morning, listening to worship on your daddy's knee or whatever. Because it doesn't matter how you start. What Jesus is talking about is how we're going to finish out. And so Jesus He talks about these people falling away because life got hard. He said when they sprouted up and they were, the heat of the sun was withering these things out, it was killing them right away. So those people that are coming in, they're like, man, I love Jesus. I want the CD. I want a new Bible. I want this. I want an autographed picture of Billy Graham. And they get all this stuff. But you know what? As soon as tribulation comes, these guys are like, man, forget this. I'm out of here. I started thinking about this, Nolan, with Nate, and how at jiu-jitsu, my coach, I'm telling you, it's just like church. It is. I want to write a book, How to Pastor a Church Like a Jiu-Jitsu Coach. Honestly, I think this was going to sell. Because I was talking to my coach, and he said, Jason, we've got three-monthers is what he calls them. And three-monthers come in. I kid you not. They get tattoos of Tsunami on them. Yeah, and I want one too, but in a different way, but I'll talk to you about that later. But I don't want the name Tsunami on there, but there is a cool logo. But they're getting like Tsunami on there. They're getting tattooed. They're buying the shirts. They're asking all the questions. They're really into it, you know, and they're showing up. And then in 3 months, they're gone. Why? Because it gets hard. And you know, all that stuff you see on TV that you think you're going to be, oh man, I want to fight like that. Well, guess what? You're going to get beat up. And it's going to be a process, and you're not going to be down with it. And so after 3 months, when things get hard, you're out of there. And Jesus is saying it's the same exact thing. When people find out Christianity, you know, well, I thought Jesus was my rock and he's going to roll my blues away. Bop, shoo, bop, 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 right? And we're like, no, it's gnarly. They start calling you podium pounder and Jesus freak and Bible thumper. Then what? Or maybe the sun comes a different way. You hear a word on teaching about your marriage. The Lord's speaking to you guys. How to have a good marriage because it honors Christ. And, the, you know, maybe we go over some really good practical principles. And so for the first week, you're like, man, I'm going to go home and I'm going to do this. But as soon as you start putting those in place, guess what's going to happen? It's going to get rough. And then you're like, forget this. We'll just go back to fighting and being roommates forever. Or hearing about your kids, man, how to raise your kids up. And you're spending time with them. And then it gets hard because they don't want to listen. You're like, you know what? Forget this. Here's the remote. Let the TV raise you. Or anger. You know, we're watching our anger, and then, you know, somebody cuts us off, gives us the finger of fellowship, and then we're like, we keep our mouth shut because we, like, read about that this morning, and we're white-knuckling the steering wheel, and thank God we make it. We don't say anything bad, but then we're upset with ourselves because we didn't. I let that guy walk all over me. This is just, I'm a weak person. I should have just told him what I was thinking. And you know what? Jesus is saying, listen, we want to stick and stay and make it pay. One of the things about Christianity, you guys, is that, and we're going to just, we'll close this out right here. One of the things about, we got to pick it up on Wednesday. That's why you guys got to show up on Wednesday. There's so much, or I talk a lot. I don't know. I'd like to say it's a lot of stuff going on there. But when we're looking at what Jesus is saying, you guys, about these conditions of our heart, you know, the one thing that I've seen that really works is that just walking it out with Jesus every day through the hard and the good stuff. You know, it's like anything in life, you guys. The more you do it, the better you get. You know, guitar playing. As soon as somebody plays guitar, the idea, they started playing guitar because they want to be like Eddie Van Halen. But then they sound like Eddie Van Halen off of Timu. Right, and you got the Timu version of Eddie Van Halen. And it's ugly, and it's gnarly. And they don't want to learn the scales, and they don't want to go through it. But guess what? It gets better. And so, but here's the thing. We want to have the type of heart that receives God's word, you guys, in a way that it can produce a fruit in our life. We don't want to let life choke it out. What's life that chokes it out? It's everyday Monday stuff, you guys. It's the laundry. It's the bill that didn't get paid on auto pay. It's the kids. It's the doctor's appointment. It's the job site that's going in the toilet. It's this. It's grocery shopping. These are the things that just choke us out, and they're not necessarily bad things. Jesus didn't say, you know, it's the sinful things. that are choking us out. Did you notice that? It's the cares and concerns of the world that's choking us out. They're not necessarily sinful, but when they start choking us out, it becomes a problem. And so you guys, I want to encourage you, you know, worship team, come on up. Maybe, you know, thinking about it, you're a type A personality. You just burn it at both ends of the candle, right? You're just going to push it, man. Everything you do full force. And you ain't got no time because you got so many things going on in your life. You got a new direction you're heading, and you're very driven, and you're going to get to that goal one way or another, and nobody's going to get in your way. You ain't got no time for nothing else, and you got a lot of things on your plate, and you're very focused on them because you check them off your list. And at the same time, Jesus is warning you right now, you better slow down. Because if you don't slow down, you're going to get choked out. And you know, and others of us, we're just like, man, I'm tired of being burdened by all this stuff, Jason. I feel like all the time I'm like going through like stressed out about this or that, and I've got all this stuff happening this next week or month. And you know, what do? Well, the Lord told us what to do. He said, bring that to him. Because he said, all who are weary and heavy laden, come to me and I'll give you rest. Learn from me, for I'm meek and humble. You know, Jesus never talked about himself, like who he was. But in that verse he did. And he said, I'm meek and I'm humble. You can come to me. So you guys, would you stand with us this morning as we're going to close out communion? And I just want to encourage you, you know, maybe there's some stuff going on in your life you need to weed out. This is a good reminder to just put it to heart. And you know, I pray that the words of the Lord, as we're studying through the sower and the seed, that these words that Christ is giving us this morning doesn't fall up on some bad soil for you guys. I'm praying over our church that this seed, this word of God about the kingdom of God, just goes into our heart, and it's a heart receptive, that it's still raw for the Lord, that it's not dull and hard, you guys. And if you're in that place, you're like, Jason, I just need prayer because it's gotten dull, it's gotten hard, it's all choked up with weeds. I want to just lift you up in prayer this morning. Just want to lift you up in prayer this morning that God clears house there and gives you, just weeds out that junk in your heart and makes it ready for his word. Lord, we love you. We thank you for your word, and thank you for your heart, God, that, you know, the reason why you said these things was because you love us. You want to connect with us, Lord. You know, I think about people we love and we have a relationship with that, you know, we don't want to just connect with them once a month or once a week, but Lord, to just be, you know, and just to have that special relationship with people we love intimately, Lord. And you desire that for us, God, and you've made a way through the cross by giving your life for our life, for our sins, God. You laid up on the cross willingly. No man took your life from you, but you willingly laid it down. Lord, you are so worthy of it all. We give you the glory as we sing this worship song day and night, and night and day. Lord, may our praises arise to you, Father. I pray over my brothers and sisters today that are here with a heavy heart, getting choked out, stressed out, depressed, God, that you would just clear it out for them, Lord. That as they go today, that we'd be reminded to just meditate on this word, to slow down. Enjoy you, enjoy what you've put in our lives, our children, our wives, our husbands, our friends, family, Lord, your church, and not take it for granted, but as you intended the Sabbath today to be a day of rest in you, loving you, surrounded in your goodness and your glory, we thank you for that, Lord, in Jesus' name.